Bible to the book of Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to continue on in a subject that I started last week for today, and I felt inspired to do that this week. Father, I thank you so much for the love that you have for us. Bless this house now. Bring life and encouragement to everyone, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Brandon, I love you, man. And you know, this is your family here. This is your family, and we're here for you. And always will be. Life is so amazing, isn't it? Your life can change in a moment. Never live like there's no tomorrow. Live with the purpose and the passion of making Jesus first. Because you could leave here today, things could change like that. And God, let him hold your life in his hand. We need him. Live with the respect and honor that God deserves. He's just not somebody that, he must not be just your Sunday God. He needs to be a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week relationship that you love and that you serve. Amen? Amen. I want to talk to you this week for a few minutes again about the habits of a champion. Also want to remind you, this Thursday is the Thanksgiving dinner. There will be no service on Thursday night. Aaron Martin, I heard, just did a phenomenal job last Thursday taking care of things here, and Ryan and the team. I'm so thankful. I was in Los Angeles. I preached at one of the most historic churches in the nation that has been marked even around the world, the Great Angelus Temple that was built by a woman in the late 20s by the name of Amy Semple McPherson. And God used her in a powerful way, built that. It was the largest church in the world at the time when she built it. And she built it during the Depression. And while they were building it, she would feed between 20 and 30,000 people a week from that. And the Angelus Temple is part of the Los Angeles Dream Center with Pastor Tommy Barnett, Pastor Matthew Barnett. And the Dream Center, get this, serves and gives away 1.2 million pounds of food per month. It's amazing. And it was such an honor to go and to be there. And wow, my life was impacted. I was blessed more than I'm sure anybody else was. I want to talk to you, though. I just really wanted to continue on this theme for this week about the habits of a champion. And the word habit just really lodged into my heart and my spirit. And I derive this from the scripture in Isaiah chapter 19 and verse 20 out of the New American Standard Bible. He says, "It will become a sign and a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. They will cry to the Lord because of oppressors, and he will send them a savior and a champion, and he will deliver them." Jesus, a prophecy, was given pertaining to Christ's coming from Isaiah over 700 years previous, that God would not only send a savior, but he would send a champion. I don't want you to get this today, that he just didn't send him to be someone that we can just see at a distance. He sent him to live inside of us. In 1 John 4 and 4, it says, "Greater is he that is in you." That whole fourth chapter in 1 John just reiterates about Christ living inside of you and you inside of him. And so last week I talked about four areas that champions have: a love for God and for people. The habit of a champion is not only to love God, but it's to love people as well. Matthew 25, Jesus was asked, "What's the greatest commandment?" He says, "Love God and then love your neighbor as yourself." You have to have the love for God and for people if you're going to inhabit this habit of a champion. The second habit is champions believe that God can and will use them to do absolutely anything. My brothers and sisters, we have to come to the place where if you only live to do what you can do, you'll live below the level that He has intended for you to do. When you live in the dimension where God can and use you to do anything, then you see the supernatural come from your life. Third habit of a champion is the champions don't become champions in the ring. They're just recognized there. And I love the story in Acts chapter 2 and where the Bible says that the Spirit of God was poured out and Pentecost happened. And then the Bible says that Peter preached to 3,000 and they got saved. And then in Acts chapter 3, it starts off in the first verse. And it says, and Peter and John went up to the temple in the ninth hour. Why? Because they learned to do the right thing, the same thing, and have a habit of doing it every single day. You have to make decisions to do every single day to get the results that you'll want in the future. And so many people forfeit that. They think, well, if I do it a couple times, I used to have a membership to the Y, and I thought just by having a membership, it would make me healthier. How many of you know I was kidding myself on that? Come on. You have to do every single day the things that will get you to the purpose and the plan that God has called you to. Evan Roberts, I talked about, great evangelist at the turn of the century in Wales, had prayed for 100,000 people to come to Christ in Wales. And in 2 years, in a small little church house, he saw over 100,000 people come to Christ. You know why? It's because he prayed every day. History writes that he would never miss going to one service in the church. Didn't matter what it was. Didn't matter what was going on. He'd show up. He'd always be there. Champions, you don't become a champion in the ring. You're just discovered there. You're recognized there. And the fourth habit of a champion that I talked of last week is that champions decide now that their future has great value. And I use the scripture out of Genesis chapter 25 where the Bible says that Esau was out in the field working one day and he got hungry. He came in, Jacob had stew, and he wanted some, and Jacob connived him into giving him his birthright. And the Bible says in Genesis 25 that Esau said, what do I need the birthright for? I'm hungry now. And it says, the Bible says that he despised or he forfeited, he gave up his birthright. And the birthright is that gift on a person's life to have a voice to their next generation. And many times we have this tendency to do in our lives what we want right now, that we forfeit the ability that we have for our future. And a real champion decides now. You make up your mind, you make a decision right now, right today, what you're going to do that's going to have an influence on your future. And not only in your future, but in your children and in your children's future. You say, well, you know, there's just some things that I want and I want now. If we always live on the impulses of our lives, we'll be going from thing to thing, to experience. But if we live and trust God and decide right today that our future has great value in it, the decisions, the process that we do right now, will have a great effect on our future. Come on, amen on that? And so Christ wants us to live with this knowledge as well that He has come to change who we are. And not just change us from the outside in. He's changing us from the inside out. 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the Living Bible says, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person. Where? Inside. He is not the same anymore because a new life has begun. And somebody can give their lives to Christ. And a lot of times, people who live in religious circles expect everything on their outside to change in a moment. But how many of you know God never works from the outside in? He always works from the inside out. And He makes the inside out a brand new creature. Now, saying that, He will change your outside. You will look different on the outside. Some of you'll look better. You just will. Being a Christian makes you look better. You know, if you're just not happy with the way you look, serve Him more. He'll clean you up, make you look better. He really will. Do you know when a poll was taken that 78% of all people said they were Christians, but in the 78%, only 7% said they had a true life change? No wonder the world asks questions like, have you really ever seen anybody's life changed? Because the change takes place on the inside, and it has to begin with a spiritual change. You can't just will your way to be different. You have to have the help of God's Holy Spirit inside of you, making you a brand new creature. And thus comes the habits that we embrace every single day of our lives. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 16, we're going to read a few verses in Hebrews today. And I'm just going to give you four things and ask you four questions and just be a moment on this. He says in verse 16, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. He said, I'll put my laws in their hearts and I'll write them on their minds. No longer are they on tablets to read and to look at from afar. Now they're inside of you and I. And he adds, in their sins and lawless acts, I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer a sacrifice for sin. Why? Because he has taken them to the cross. He has paid the penalty for every one of them. And he is making you and I brand new. Instead of the law being something that is always and continually is thrown at us, now we live with it inside of us. And it becomes a habit of who and what we become every single day of our lives. I don't do the things I used to do. I don't go the places that I used to go. I don't embrace the things that I used to embrace. Not because I can't. It's because something's different inside of me. I just don't want to do that anymore. I don't have that desire anymore. Things have changed on the inside. I was telling Paulie Lemondola, they went to a movie, didn't like it, got up in the middle of it and walked out. That's because there's a change, and people can't understand that. Why would you spend the money and then leave the movie? Because if the Spirit of God convicts you, no matter if the movie, if you're watching the Flintstones and something goes on inside, baby, you better run out of there. That's obedience to God. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, it says, therefore, in the New International Version, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, how? By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, verse 22, he says, let us draw near to God. I'm going to give you four little habits into this after I finish reading it. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we've professed, for he who promised is faithful. Verse 24, and let us, everybody say let us, consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Verse 25, not giving up on meeting together, as some are in a habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Here's four things out of that. Number one, he says, let us draw near to God. Let's get closer to God. How? With a sincere heart. This must be a habit of ours. Not just on Sunday or on Thursday, or when it's convenient, or when we hear a special speaker coming, we must have an intense passion and a desire to get closer to God. Because when we do, things change on the inside of us. My brothers and sisters, this life change doesn't just happen, again, because you will it to happen. It happens when you make a decision, you're going to get closer to God. And you and I are as close to God today as we want him to be. And some people don't like to hear that. We'll say, no, I want God closer, but I don't know how. Get closer to him. Build that relationship with him. Let us draw near. Let us get closer with a sincere heart. Not with a heart that just says, what's he going to give me if I do this? What can I get out of this? What's in it for me? I'll get to that in just a moment. Number two habit is let us hold on to His Word. He says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Let us hold fast to the Word. The King James Version says that. I said it for Chuck Wood earlier this morning in the first service. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. We believe God's Word. We hold fast to it. We live by the Word of God because He who is faithful has promised that to us. We hold fast. We believe God's Word. We trust it. When we get close to Him, it becomes more a part of who we are. And it will not become a part of who you are unless you read it and let it become inside of you. I didn't get the size I am by just walking in the grocery store. How many of you know I ate all the groceries? I'm working on getting rid of some of it, but you got to take it in. Inside of you. The third, let us, in verse 24, he says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. How can I encourage someone else? What can I do to bless or to help someone else's life? Because, my friends, it's not just about me and what I can get and what's in it for me and what are they going to do for me if I do this. What can I do to bless someone else? What gift has God given me that I can share with someone else? Not only to change their life, but how many of you know that when you give, your life is blessed? The Bible says it's more blessed to give than what? Come on, scholars. Than to receive. Oh, we love receiving, but the real blessing comes when we become blessers, when we become those who encourage someone else, when we become the catalyst to bring hope and healing and life to someone else. Not just waiting for someone to bring it to me, but for me to give it away to someone else. And you'll find that if you'll engage yourself in doing that, whatever it is. If all you do for the rest of your life is just come to church, just one day a week or hour and a half, I just want to encourage you. You're missing out on the life that God has called and created you for. He's created your life for you to give to others. Give of the gift. You know, I know that yesterday they had the pie making day. And some people showed up that maybe never would show up. I heard they made 19 pies. Glory to God. I'm thinking I'm going next door for lunch today. No, I'm just kidding. Don't anybody shoot me down. But you are blessed when you give. Now, this is a time of year where that characteristic should be a part of who we are in a manifold way. But not just at this time of the year. All through the year. Be a giver. Be someone who's generous. A man who, the Bible says, devises generous things, he lives by generosity. That means when I'm generous, people are generous back to me. When I give, people give to me. Man, last week, a week ago, I took my watch to have it fixed. They said, no charge. I said, no, I want to pay you. No, we don't want anything from you. Okay. Went to get my hair cut. They said, no, we don't want to take anything from you today. I thought, man, I'm in a groove here today. Maybe I ought to drive into Cadillac dealership or something. Who knows? Well, when you give, God gives back to you. We don't give to get. But how many of you know it just happens? When you give, God will make sure that it comes back to you. Again, if all you live is with your palms up, you'll only get twice a year on Christmas and on your birthday. But if you live with them down, giving, you'll get blessed every day of your life. Come on, how many of you know what I'm talking about right now? And then the fourth habit, he said, don't give up meeting together, because some do. He said, don't give up meeting together because it's become a habit of some. We live in a time frame in society when God is at the end of the ladder instead of being first. Am I saying that to love Him and to serve Him, you got to go to church every time the doors are open? Absolutely not. But I'm going to tell you something. If you love Him and you serve Him and you want the best, you will be at church more than not. Because you'll not only want to come for you, you're going to want to help someone else. Just like the scripture I just read. You'll want to come and you'll want to spur someone else on. You'll want to come and encourage somebody else. Your smile, your handshake, your hug, your high five, however you interact, that will be an encouragement to someone else. And He says, don't give up the habit. And He says, even more as you see the day approaching. Because it's needed more in the day and the time that we live in. How about if nobody else came to church today but Brandon? He loses his mom this week and nobody else is here to hug him. And you don't know in this house today what people are in here that have encountered a loss. We come into church day in and day out. People are struggling. They're hurting. We just walk in, sit in our seat and get up and walk out. And God is saying, hey, slow down. Walk through the crowd slow because I want to direct you to somebody to shake their hand, to ask them how they're doing, to bless them, give them coffee, take them to lunch, or encourage them in some way. Spur one another on, but you can't do it if you're not available. And He said, don't give up on it. Make sure you do it. So here's the questions directed to the habits that I just gave to you. Number one, am I worshiping God intimately? Am I coming closer to Him? Is He a part of my life? Is God closer? Do I just look at Him like He's an obligation to me? Oh, I gotta go to church. No, you ain't. Teachers, don't get upset at me. You ain't gotta go to church. We get to come to the house of God. I want to worship Him intimately. John 4:23 says, the time is coming and now has come. Now, right now, it's come. He says, we're true worshipers. We'll worship the Father in spirit and truth because they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. And you know what that word worship means there? It's a reverence. It means to kiss the hand towards the one that loves you. Oh, God. I just love you. It means to fall prostrate. It means to kneel. It means to express your love. It just doesn't mean, oh, we'll come in, open up a hymn bowl and have a song service. It means to worship Him. True worshipers is who the Father seeks after. James 4:8 says, if you'll come near to God, God will come near to you. You're as close to God today as you choose to be. I pray that you'll come closer to Him and worship Him more intimately. Number two, am I feeding on His word every single day? The scripture in verse 23, hold fast to the profession of our faith. Hold fast to the word of God. Joshua 1:8 says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night, day and night. He says, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you'll be prosperous. Then you'll be successful. Not before, but when the word is in you. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and it's a light for my path. The word of God needs to be a priority. We have so many different ways that that works in our lives. I got the Bible in every translation on my phone. I can look at it any time of my life. I can read the word of God. Have an iPad. I still have Old Faithful here with the elephant glue holding the binder together on there. Maybe I need to get a new one for Christmas. Hint. And but you got to have it in your heart. You have to make it available every single day. It needs to be a part of who you are. Number three, am I serving faithfully? The Bible says, am I spurring others on? How can I encourage someone else? What can I do to be a blessing in someone else's life? Because when we are, it does more for us than it does for them. Am I encouraging one another? Am I using my gift to be a blessing to the people around me? Welcome back home from L.A., Garrett. I'm glad your plane made it in. He just got off a plane. Just a few. Amen. Give him. My little boy flew all the way to L.A. to see his daddy preach. I was blessed by that. Got to get back into the Word here. Am I serving the Lord faithfully? What am I doing? What am I engaged in? Do you know our food pantry? Do you know it feeds 500 families a month? Do you believe that? That is amazing. Now, when you give, you're a part of that. But, you know, why allow just a handful of people have that blessing in their lives? There's a group of people that serve in there on a regular basis. The Clothing Connection, giving out clothes several times a month. The Thanksgiving dinner to help people. The Adopt-A-Block, going out every Saturday. The Children's Ministry, upstairs, nursery, the usher, the bus. Where could you connect it? What could you do to spur someone on? You think, well, if I bring them to church, they'll hear the preacher and they'll be encouraged. No, because I really believe that much of the encouragement happens before and after the service by you. Some people are here, they haven't heard a word I say, but when they meet you on going out the door or coming in the door, you can have a profound effect on somebody's life. 1 Peter 4:10, each one use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in his various forms. That's your calling. That's a habit that you have to have in your life. If Jesus is living inside of you, the champion habit of serving faithfully is who you are. And the fourth, am I connecting regularly? Am I making God's house and being with people of like faith a priority? Or am I a lone ranger? Am I just one that just want, I want to come in late and leave early because I don't like people. I've got pastor friends that tell me that. They say, I come in after service has started, I leave, I have somebody play and I leave because, and I said, why do you do that? They say, well, I really don't like people. And I'm like, huh? And you're a pastor? But come on, brothers and sisters, we need to connect with people. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Why? So that you can be healed. Because we need one another. I heard somebody say a while ago, they made a statement. They say, if you really love me, if you're really my friend, you'll support me no matter what. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Maybe you're here and you've said that. That is the biggest crock statement in the world. It'd be like somebody walking towards a cliff, getting ready to fall off, and you just staying there and say, well, God bless you, man. You'll enjoy the breeze on the way down. The end of the trip might be a little rough, but hey, I love you anyways. That's not a friend. You get in front of them and come on. You know, sometimes people think, well, the pastor ought. No, the pastor is not called to do this. You as individuals, you in your circle, and that's why it's important for you to have those circles in your life, that God can use you. If somebody's heading towards the cliff, and they say to you, hey, just love me and support me. I'm going to love you, but I'm going to jerk you around a little bit so you don't hurt yourself. I'm going to pull your hair on the back of your nappy of your neck and get your attention. What are you doing? Come on, wake up. Come out of that slumber and live the way God has called you to live. And you got to have courage to do that. Amen. Give Jesus a praise for that. And you got to have courage to do that. Because not everybody likes to hear the truth. Now, I'm not telling you just to go around and, you know, this lady one time years ago was in a church and she'd walk right up to me. She'd say, that tie's ugly. I'd say, okay, thank you very much for that. I appreciate that. Well, she says, I just got to tell the truth. That was her opinion. My tie was awesome. Just like my socks are this morning. See, now I've had some opinions on that. I've had some people say, would you have a wardrobe malfunction this morning? Absolutely not. I was calculated. I knew what I was doing. It's for this side of the room over here. But when we connect with people on a regular basis, I used this morning earlier the analogy of our Tuesday early morning men's gathering in the Outback from 7 to 8 o'clock. Man, what a group of men that have met together now for years and become intimate sometimes and become authentic and honest with some of the weaknesses and the challenges that not only they've been through, but what they're going through now. And nobody's there to criticize or to judge. Man, at the end of the day, we love one another and we stand arm in arm with one another. And brothers and sisters, you have to have that. You know, it's like I said last week, you can't wait till the battle happens and then make a decision, oh, I'm going to get in shape for the fight. No, no. You got to do every single day. And some of you today, you're just not good at the relationship end of your life with Christ and with others. Hello? You love me or not? I'm telling you the truth here this morning. And you got to get better at it. People say, well, I'm just not good at it. I don't know how to be good at it. Well, learn to be good at it. I wasn't a good father when I had kids. I didn't have a father role. I didn't know how to be a husband. I sure didn't know anything about being a grandpa. But come on, my grandkids, am I the best boppy in the world? Come on, you ought to jump up, wave your hand. Come on, I got money in my pocket if you'll do that. Come on, make me look good. Gabe, come on, get up right now. Yeah. You practice how to do that. And the Bible says, confess, connect with others regularly. We don't just come to church for us. We come to give. We come to help. We come to be a blessing. Come on. How many of you have been born to be a blessing today? Amen. Amen. Close your eyes, bow your heads with me today. I thank God for each and every one of you. If you've never, your head's bowed and your eyes closed, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, you need to do that today. Don't go into another season, a Christmas season without Christ in your life, a Thanksgiving season empty without Christ. When He comes into your life, He takes over. He begins to lead you and guide you. Nobody, He's not there to manipulate or control and tell you how bad you are, where all your faults are. He's there to live inside of you. And when He lives inside of you, He begins to change you from the inside out. You're here today, you've never given your life to Christ. Just open up your hands right now. I believe there's some in here this morning that would say, I want Jesus in my life. I want my prayer folks to come on down to the altar if you would. This morning, if that's the cry of your heart, ask Him to come into your life. You can do that right where you're at. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Take over my life today. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. Maybe you're here today and your life is, you're in a wretched place. You're hurt. You're lost. You're alone. You're lonely. You're broken. You want to connect. You're not sure how to connect. We want to help you do that. We want to pray with you and believe God with you. Send you in the right direction. Encourage you, lift you up. Believe God with you. Pray over you. And watch God do a marvelous work in your life. If that's you I'm talking to today, I'm going to close in prayer. If you've never given your heart to Christ, you can do that right now. Right where you're at. Say, Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. I don't understand it all, Lord, but I want that in my life. If you do that today, I want you to come down and tell somebody here that you did that. Secondly, if you're living in a place where you're just disconnected, you're broken, you're hurt, you just need somebody to come alongside of you this morning, pray. I want you to come. I'm going to pray. I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to dismiss everyone. And then if that's you that I've been talking about, before you leave, you come on down. These folks would love to pray for you. Let's pray together. Father, today, how great and how glorious you are. How wonderful are your very works, oh God. Holy Spirit, work in every life here. I praise you and I honor you for your kindness and your goodness today. I declare blessing, hope, and life over each one today. And for that, I give you all the praise and thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you a lot. God bless you. If you need prayer, make sure you come down before you go. God has a great plan for you.